Senior citizen engagement meeting to order. Welcome, everybody. Tony, if you would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I sure will. Please stand if you can. If not, hand over your heart. Veterans, please salute. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America.
Thank you, Tony. Elizabeth, would you call the roll, please?
All right. You said Tony Olivato is absent.
Correct.
Elizabeth Buzik, present. Colette, the new member. Absent. Okay. Scott Fegg, absent. Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Ken Higman. Mm-hmm. Sherry Horn. Nope. Jim Levy. Nope. Paolo Morales. Nope. John Pointer.
Present.
Tony Rodella.
Hoorah.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Evelyn Velez.
Here.
Okay.
Elizabeth, it looks like Ken is now here as well.
Okay. Thank you.
And Elizabeth, Jim Levy is excused. You may remember he's on a cruise. At this point,
I thought there was no such thing as an excused absence any longer.
Either Jim is absent.
You're here or you're not here.
Jim is absent. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Do we have a quorum, Elizabeth?
Desiree, yes. Desiree says we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before I begin introductions, let me explain why I'm leading the meeting today. I was asked to fill in since Evelyn was elected to the executive board and cannot serve as the chair of the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee as well. And we don't have a selection yet for the committee. So I am filling in today, emphasis on today. So bear with me as I try to recall all of the tasks that the chair is supposed to do. The next topic is introductions. I'm going to delay that for just a minute and move to item 5 and 6 and then use introductions to also allow me to lead into the presentation today as well. I'm on item 5, action item. This is again an opportunity to express your desire to either continue to meet virtually or for the meeting, next meeting to be conducted in person. The recommendation and the agenda reads as follows. Continual virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19, meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of members to meet safely in person. So a yes vote is for continuation. A no vote is for discontinuance of the virtual format meeting in person. I believe I've got that right. Are there any questions? Desiree, would you take the vote for me, please?
Of course. Tony Olivato, Elizabeth Buzik.
Yes.
Colette Chenzisky. Scott Feig. Elaine Genoway.
Aye.
Ken Higman.
Yes.
Sherry Horn. Jim Levy. Paolo Morales. John Pointer.
Aye.
Tony Rodella.
Oh.
Dave Tetzloff.
Aye.
And Evelyn Velez?
Yes.
That is majority, Chair.
Thank you, Desiree. So, Desiree, the next meeting would be conducted virtually. Is that correct?
Yes, we still will need one more special meeting because the meeting for February for this committee is being pushed back due to holidays again on Mondays. So the next meeting is not until February 27th. So we will need one special in between that to get us to the virtual for February.
And thus the agenda item later on where it talks about 8B small Roman numeral one, select February special meeting day. Okay, thank you. I only see two non-members of the committee, Lillian and Mark Cox. So I don't believe we have any actual members from the public, Desiree, so I don't think there is any need for a public comment.
We actually do have members of the public present, so we do.
Could you identify those people for me, Desiree?
I'm sorry?
Would you identify those members of the public?
I have a Myung Su and Bill Sandlin.
Okay, don't show attending. Up on the screen. Sorry.
John, you don't see them on the screen because they're not panelists.
Okay, thank you.
Attendees, and I guess, and Lillian is a member of the Orange County Office on Aging staff.
Yeah, I know Lillian. Thank you. Are there any?
John, may I introduce somebody?
Yes, please.
There's Pauline as well. Pauline Colvin is also a member of the Office on Aging staff. She's here. She's new. She's not new to the county, but she's new to the Office on Aging staff, and she's taking over like the planning duties of the Office on Aging and also some, the SCAC role as well. So I'd like to introduce everyone to Pauline Colvin. Pauline, would you like to give yourself a little introduction to everyone?
Sure. I think you guys have probably know who I am by now if you've been at the other subcommittee meetings, but I came from Supervisor Bartlett's office. I'm happy to be here. My role, as Lillian said, will be working with SCAC, also working on the area plan for aging and on the master plan for aging as well. So looking forward to working with you all and getting up to speed on what each of your committees are doing. So that's it.
Welcome, Pauline.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Chair. Were we going to call public comment? I think we got a little confused on that part. So yes, did you want to call public comment now?
Yes. If there was anyone from the public that wants to comment, would you please raise your hand so we can call on you?
So we did not receive any requests to speak in advance. Again, if there are members of the public that would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. Seeing no hands, Chair.
Thank you, Desiree. I'm now moving to introductions, and Lillian introduced Pauline, and I would like to take this opportunity to introduce our guest speaker, Mark Cox from Riverside. Mark is a member of the AAA Advisory Committee for Riverside County, and Mark is also a member of the CSL. I have invited Mark to speak to the issue of grandparents and grandchildren today and bring to your attention a increasing incidence of grandparents being called upon to raise grandchildren. It's been an ever-increasing problem, but it has been exacerbated by recent increases in fentanyl. And I want to bring to your attention the challenges of grandparents in trying to gain guardianship or adoption of the grandchildren, which enable certain things to occur that allow the grandparent to pay for certain expenses. With that, let me just read an opening statement. A profile of older Americans conducted in 2012 revealed that the number of grandparents and other relatives who are caring for children is significant and growing. It has become standard practice in child welfare agencies to place abused and neglected children removed from parental custody into the care of family members, often a grandparent. Although caregivers' lives are enhanced by the experience, emphasis on caregivers, I didn't make that connection initially. Providing full-time care to grandchildren can impact the grandparents in a number of different ways. The caregivers would benefit from improved coordination of resources intended to support them, as well as better dissemination of information about those resources. I've invited Mark because he has firsthand experience in working his way through the county process for guardianship and adoption. And with that, Mark, thank you for joining us today and to your presentation.
Thank you, John. I'm going to try to share screen here. Hopefully this works okay. Okay, it's up on mine. I hope it's up on yours.
Yes.
Yes, it is, Mark.
Thank you. First of all, let me say how much I appreciate you having me today and appreciate you sitting through this this presentation. I'm as John mentioned, I'm actually vice chair of the Advisory Committee, Office of Aging in Riverside County, and also providing advocacy support through other means, such as a CSL. I want to talk first about my experience. Actually, my family is my wife. I should not just say my. We just finished adoption of a four-year-old granddaughter. We have four children, six grandchildren. This particular situation was a situation where the infant has lived with us since birth. And that process from start to finish, once we started it, once it became apparent that we needed to be the caregivers, has taken approximately 2 years. We were awarded guardianship first. That took about 6 months. It was on an expedited process and then went into the adoption phase. The processes are sequential. You could do one or the other. In our case, we did the guardianship because we needed to go ahead and get custody of the child. The processes in total over the 2 year period have cost about $15,000. And we use primarily private sector resources other than CPS. And I'll be happy if, at any point to talk about some of the differences. But anyway, I've become an advocate. We started this for personal need. And I've become an advocate once I determined and my wife determined what how deep and wide the issue is and has become. Since 2017, 2018, the number of cases of grandparents becoming the caregivers has increased exponentially. Because of COVID and other activities, there hasn't been a whole lot of capture of additional information and numbers and specifics, et cetera. The impacts since that period of time, which have accelerated this dramatically, are things such as John mentioned fentanyl, but there are also issues of COVID. There are issues of the economy. I'll mention this now rather than later, but I just saw some figures that indicate that the percentage of the children that have moved back home over the last period of time since COVID and the economic downturn is somewhere in the neighborhood of 30%+. There are no solid numbers on the grandparents over 60 that meet or having this issue or meet this criteria, and that needs to be addressed. It is also not covered in the master plan for aging. Obviously, dependent care is, but it's not specifically dealt with or addressed, and needs to be dealt with. There are unbelievable numbers of resources out there, and so forth. But there's absolutely no approach to a no wrong door capability. And so you have to pick up information incrementally from a number of sources. Our sources started with, as it turns out, Senator Boggs' family. Senator Boggs is a state senator from San Bernardino Ucaipa slash a narrow part of Riverside, and her family had been involved in these issues for the reasons that I mentioned before. There were drug cases and other issues that they got into it, and they had met with them early on, and that's where I began to explore some of the information you'll see in the subsequent screens. Most of the feedback and information it deals with more of a CPS track. In other words, the child is given over to or released to CPS for foster care or other mechanisms and means. And the resources that then support CPS are primarily California-based budget items. And there are numbers of resources, but it's a very high cost process. There are private sector companies that also support the processes that are necessary for guardianship and adoption, but the cost is high. Just as an example, guardianship filing, one document, guardianship filing in a county, the filing fee is $1,000. Why is this a problem and what's going on? Well, what we found out in research actually the Ucaipa School District expanded it out to Inland Empire, expanded it out to the state, where I have found that somewhere between 20 to 25% of the children that are currently in the school systems have a party other than the parent as the responsible party. Most instances, that's a grandparent or a family member. To give you some idea of the numbers that go behind that, in the Inland Empire, again, a number of school districts, a lot of areas, somewhere around a minimum of 250,000. For the LA school district alone, it's 250,000. For the San Diego school district, it's 150,000. I'll talk a minute that is the issue that it is. Let me do it now. You can apply for in a school district to be the responsible party, and the steps and the procedures and the processes are fairly straightforward and fairly simple. You can get a sign off on a signature from either the parent or somebody else in the family can sign off, and that occurs. But there's no legal support for the dependent, the underage dependent. That can only be done through the through other processes and through the probate courts. Four tracks other than CPS, you have to pay as an individual. You can be reimbursed for tax credits after all the processes are completed, but the process in our case was 2 years. So for 2 years, you could not get any kind of compensation assistance. Now again, this is outside of CPS. I have an example of an individual here in Ucaipa, a woman who's a dental hygienist, who had to take her dependent grandson And she's been working on the issue of guardianship and working through the processes outside of CPS and cost, et cetera. And it's, she's been in that process somewhere around 6 to 7 years. This topic is also being addressed now by legislation passed in 2019 at the federal level, the House and Health and Human Services Organization has put together an advisory group. As a result of that legislation, they put out a couple of reports, but it's up to the states then to do what they need to do. The members on that panel, advisory panel, serve a 3-year term. As it turns out, I have applied for that for the next sequence of terms. I haven't heard back yet. The selections were to be made before the end of the year. They haven't made them. Hopefully they do that in the next couple of months, excuse me. The economic impact on seniors. I saw some figures 2 days ago put out by AARP by state. And the poverty rate for seniors over 60 in California is now 11% and rising. The highest figure in the country is 14%. I think that's Louisiana, if I remember correctly. The average is around 9 to 10. Again, for the same reasons, COVID, economics, other things I've mentioned, this number is going to continue to rise. The seniors don't get any additional breaks or assistance because they've taken on additional dependents. They may tax-wise, I guess, but that's in terms of the number of dependents, that's about it. This is a very broad area. There are lots of issues here, and there needs to be some legislation to address and determine what attention is needed and warranted. And at a minimum, if the review is done, the results need to be folded into the master plan so that there's some ongoing emphasis and support for the issues that are raised. So, what I'm an advocate for is asking for a review of the statutes and procedures of the family code that apply. That's the code site that's on the screen. They cover placement, guardianship, adoption of minors, among other things. Obviously, most of the legislation that's currently on the books is to protect the minor, the dependent, and that's absolutely appropriate. But there's no flexibility in any of the issues or any of the rules to deal with the things that I've just mentioned. There also needs to be a focus as a result of all this on the grandparents over 60 who are caregivers who are now on fixed or retirement incomes with a higher poverty level or the poverty level rising. It needs to be conducted by the California Department of Justice. That's because of the linkage to the probate courts, Health and Human Services, obviously, Office of Aging, Child Protective Services. And that's the general situation. I can be reached either through Office of Aging Advisory Group in Riverside or through CSL or just generally. I think you have by my emails, et cetera. If you don't, I can certainly provide them. So that's it. I'm more than willing to answer any questions that anyone may have. I guess my bottom line is, I did not realize how big this was until I got into it and started asking questions. I'll go down now to any location that has kids. Let's say about a local park. And most of the adults that are there, by the way, are grandparents. Most of the caregiving even is done, if it's not at full time, at least most of the time by grandparents, huge numbers. If you start asking questions of your friends and family, I think you'll find and be shocked at the numbers. Any questions? No questions?
I have a question, Mark.
Oh. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Have you, are you working with any state legislators on this currently?
Yes, we're actually in Orange County. Senator Wynn has wanted to pick up this as a legislative item in this cycle. There are also others in Riverside County and in some other locations across the state that are have interest. What I'm finding is this is hits home for a number of legislators that are having the same kind of family issues.
Thank you.
This is Evelyn, and I have a question also.
Yes.
So what are you, what do you hope the legislation to accomplish?
To set up a review, a formalized review of the statutes to provide better counseling support capabilities among the organizations to come up with a strategy and approach that would be folded into the master plan.
Okay, so it's not necessarily something you're hoping to accomplish right away then in terms of
although there are things that probably could be done pretty quickly as a result of the review, there are a lot of inequities. You either are part of the CPS system that the state then does reimbursements for certain things and so forth, like a foster care approach, et cetera. But when you do that, the you have to deal with the rights of the dependent basically are turned over to the state. Doesn't mean that they can't be, the grandparents can't be designated as foster care, et cetera, et cetera. But the processes are lengthy and so forth. I'm also, as part of my role in the advisory committee to Office of Aging in Riverside, one of my coordinated, if you want to call it, it's not really oversight, but advisory capabilities is with the program that is grandparents raising grandchildren in Riverside. And I've talked to, I haven't had a lot of dialogue there in Orange County, but in San Bernardino and other counties that I have checked with, for example, in Riverside, the funding issues, even to provide support for information, et cetera, they can only handle between 20 to 40 families in their cycle and at a time. So there's a waiting list. And if you looking at Riverside and San Bernardino, the two largest counties in the US, that's substantial. The other issue that I'm finding is that in many instances, the minority communities, especially Hispanic, Black, Asian, look at all of this in terms of the requirements and the steps and the processes. And what they end up doing is they just end up taking care of the issue, taking care of the dependent, at best dealing with the school part of it, but there's no other coverage than legally for the dependent. So we don't really know what the numbers are out there, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Okay. Anything else? I really appreciate your time. Obviously, our process is completed, but I have incredible empathy and passion for this, having seen and heard and been exposed to what's going on. And there are a lot of very dedicated people. And the other thing I want to mention is I have lined up, not me personally, but there are plenty of external sources, attorney groups and so forth, that are more than willing to provide pro bono support for a review. And they are sensing the same kind of issues. And what they're being told in most of their offices that deal with this, that at least 20 to 30% of their cases are now dealing with grandparents.
Mark, I'm sorry, is there another question? Seeing none, Mark, thank you very much.
All right. Y'all have a good meeting.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We are now moving to item number 8, old business. Each of you received a copy of the 2023 presentation schedule with the months on the left margin. And at a presentation for February 27th. Does anyone have a topic they would like? Looks like I've frozen, so there we go. Does anyone have a topic they would like to submit for February for the presentation schedule? If we took it out to March, April, May, through the entire year, does someone have a presentation or topic they would like to submit for the committee?
John, with my presentation on the technology, there is a possible speaker that I would like to try and find, which I'll discuss in my part of the agenda. And with that discussion, I think it would be interesting to find a speaker that could talk to this in more detail in regards to the internet services.
Right. Would there be a particular month, Dave?
I'm just finding initial information that you forwarded to me, and there's a lot of information there, and I, in the future, would need to try and find out if we could get a speaker.
Okay.
On that subject matter that can go in more detail.
Right.
But as far as a person, a time frame, that I wouldn't know right now.
Elizabeth, is there something on elder abuse that you might want to suggest? You're muted, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Evelyn thought it would be nice to have an ad hoc committee for elder abuse for this. However, Lillian has pointed out that that's somewhat redundant because the Office on Aging already has an elder abuse committee. And so we really don't need an ad hoc one for this committee. But maybe Lillian, you could give a presentation maybe in February on
I'd be happy to connect and get Kelly Morse to provide us with a presentation.
That'd be great. So February could be taken care of then. Thank you, Lillian.
What day was it again? February 27th?
27th. Uh-huh.
Let me reach out to her and see if February works for her, and I'll confirm it
as soon as possible. March 20th.
Okay, so March 20th, February 27th is the first, and then secondary would be March 20th.
Right.
Got it. Mm-hmm. I'll reach out to her and have her confirm, and I'll who should I email back? You, Elizabeth?
Great, thank you.
Okay,
sounds good. But John ought to be included in the email because he's trying to set up the calendar.
Okay.
Careful, Elizabeth. You're continuing my engagement here longer than I had envisioned. Okay. Are there any other suggestions in regards to topics?
Something that I'd like us to know more about, and John, this is kind of in the area where you are involved, at least here in Laguna Niguel, is because the Office on Aging also, under that umbrella, are Veterans Affairs. And I'd like to know what the county is doing and what services are provided to our veterans. And because there's a lot of crossover with veterans that are seniors. So I think that would be good information for us to know.
Right. Maybe Lillian or Desiree can help us with that one as well.
Yep, I can connect you with somebody from the Veteran Service as well. I'll include that person as well. I'll send a separate email for the veterans, and then I'll send a separate one for the elder abuse.
So we're doing a little jockeying here, Lillian. Right now, elder abuse, tentatively February 20th. Veterans Affairs, tentatively March 20th, with the possibility that it may slip to a later time period, April 17th. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, or I can even do either or, you know, okay. What I mean? Like for February and March, okay. Depending on their availability.
Okay. I can volunteer to provide a legislative update in one of the coming months in regards to, remember that historically Justice and Aging has identified, it's not all inclusive, but has attempted to identify legislation impacting seniors in the coming legislative session. If we want to go down that road, we can provide that if that's of interest. So I'll tentatively pencil that in, and I would not want to do it for February because we're finalizing, you know, the February 17th is the last day for legislation to be authored. There's no way Justice and Aging is going to have something by the 27th, but they can clearly have something by March or April. So we'll wait to see what Lillian is able to schedule, and we can cover April or March, depending on what Lillian's able to coordinate. So
sounds like a plan.
I'm sorry, did I interrupt somebody?
Oh, no, I just said it sounds like a plan.
Okay. So that gets us through April. Is there any other topics anyone can think of for the first half of the year, since June is dark? Any other topics?
Why don't you put me down for April or May? Put me down for May. I should be able to find the speaker by that.
Okay, that'll be for technology, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, thank you all. I'll coordinate with Desiree to make sure I got it all right, and we'll have something for the, we'll wait to hear from Lillian, and we'll have something for you perhaps by the February meeting. Okay, thank you again, folks. Item two is discussion regarding chair position for committee. I was hoping Elaine might have some additional information to share with us in regards to how this process works and whether we will be hearing from the executive committee or board in regards to a individual that will be, I'll use the term appointed, to the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee. Do you have anything for us, Elaine?
The SCAC chair appoints the chair of the standing committees. So if you're interested, and I hope we have people on here who are interested, please let Jean Hernandez know. Being the chair is a great opportunity to help the committee focus this discussion over the year. And also, what are you going to be bringing to the SCAC workshop in what we are then going to present to the Board of Supervisors as the top priorities for Orange County seniors. And it's also a good opportunity to get to know the other members. We like to use the chair positions as kind of a pipeline for leadership in SCAC. And as you noticed this past year, all three standing committee chairs now moved on to the executive committee. So, it's a good way to get to know more of what's being done in SCAC, and also help focus what are we going to present to the Board of Supervisors. So talk to Jean Hernandez or any member of the executive board if you are interested.
I would like to see Dave talk to Jean. Dave is no longer on the executive board, and I can't think of anybody more appropriate for this committee than Dave.
I agree.
I appreciate that, but right now, being a caregiver and everything, and looking at producing legislation for California senior legislature, I just don't think I would have the quality time to put into being a chair of the committee. And I appreciate the thought.
Also, another thing that's been made easier over the years for the chairs is you do not have to delegate to anyone or do it yourself as far as taking the minutes. I know in years past, that was a chore and kept some people away from assuming leadership on the standing committees. But now since the meetings are recorded, no one is tasked with that responsibility.
Ken, I realize you're new. Let me just point out that besides Dave, Elizabeth, John, Tony Olivato, Jim Levy, have all been, now it's been years, have all been chairs of this committee in some capacity in the past. And it's extremely, in my world, extremely rewarding. Gives you a real opportunity to make an impact. That's something you'd like to consider. I realize we're throwing you into the fire, so to speak, but I'd like you to think about that as well, okay?
I'd like to ask a question. So we heard, I've read the goals of the committee, and we've heard a speaker today talk about the grandparents taking care of grandkids. I'm not clear, are we going to take action, or what do we do with this information that we received today? I'm not exactly clear about this.
If I may chime in, and then Elaine, please feel free to grab the wheel and guide the car in the right direction if I go off the tracks. Ken, today was merely information sharing. Like a lot of topics that are presented to us, it's raising awareness within the community about a particular issue impacting seniors. Another way we raise awareness is that we bring to the attention of the committee members here what legislation is out there at the state level impacting seniors, but we do not advocate as SCAC or as the senior engagement, senior citizen engagement committee. Again, the intention here is to merely raise awareness. You as a private citizen may be so moved that you want to learn more, but again, at the committee level, this is intended merely to, again, raise awareness of what's going on.
So we each are a liaison with the senior center, I take it, and we interact with seniors in the community in that capacity. So the speaker was talking about Riverside County. Do we know of anything that's going on in Orange County? Are there any resources that if we do raise awareness of this issue, that there's somewhere that we can direct people to, or that be the Council of Aging if they're dealing with this?
Again, I will try, Lily, and grab the steering wheel if I fall off the road.
Wait, let me.
Sure, go ahead, Elaine.
Well, and I think what today's speaker was asking us to do is to raise awareness with the legislators, because this is something that needs to be addressed at the state level, and to somehow have a strategy for this included in the work on the master plan on aging. But there's two different tracks that we go down as far as the information that was presented today. One is what the standing committees do all year is to gather information for what we'll be working on actually next month. And that is when all of SCAC comes together and we prepare the top five priorities to the Board of Supervisors. And these are items that are within the purview of the Board of Supervisors, and we're drawing their attention to it and asking them to devote either funding, resources, attention, advocate for legislation, whatever may be appropriate for that particular item. Some things come up during the year. So, you know, during COVID, we had somewhat of an emergency situation in the county. And thanks to Dave Tetzlaff and the great work of our technology ad hoc committee, we requested from the Board of Supervisors, 4,400 iPads. And the get set up the free online learning for seniors. And Supervisor Bartlett, our former supervisor, was very supportive of that and helped us bring that to the Board of Supervisors. And they did allocate the funding for that to provide those resources to seniors. But next month, when we have our workshop, you'll see all of the standing committees coming together. And then we do some brainstorming and what has bubbled up, what has taken precedence or been prioritized in these discussions. Then we present that to the Board of Supervisors. The other track we go down is all of the members of SCAC are liaisons to senior centers, and it's two-way communication. So information that we learn here, we can be taking to the senior centers, and we should also be engaged with the senior centers and listening to them to bring information to SCAC. Sometimes it'll rise to the level where it may go out via an email from SCAC to all of the members. Here's what you should be either sharing with your senior centers, or maybe we do a quick survey so we solicit input. But there's two tracks of where the information goes, back and forth to the senior centers and then what we prepare for the Board of Supervisors. So I hope in that lengthy explanation, I didn't lose anyone.
No, that was very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, great explanation. Thank you very much. So give that some thought, Ken, if you would, please. I don't see anyone else, so I'm going to move on to item 9, subcommittee report. And Dave, thank you for being able to remain here to provide us an update on Digital Divide Subcommittee.
Yeah, thanks, John. And John sent me an email a couple of weeks ago just for me to follow up on with the concerning the digital divide. As Elaine pointed out, we were very successful working with the Board of Supervisors in developing the need for iPads and so forth. For those that had the need for it. On the other side of the coin, of course, with the equipment you need, the broadband connection. And what is happening now with that is under parts of the Master Plan on Aging, they are developing a state digital equity plan. And I signed up that to be a member of that. And what they are going to be looking at is developing statewide planning group. They're going to be looking at developing outcome area working groups, statewide survey or surveys, and local regional outreach development, and statewide public engagement. So they've got a 5-point development plan on paper. The committee will be meeting in the near future. And so I will continue to follow up with that and report back to that. For your information, and if you wanted to go into that, there's a lot of information. And that's why I thought it would be an excellent idea to have a speaker that can present all of this information to our committee. But there is a website that you can go to. And unfortunately, I'm on my iPad. We've had a visiting nurse in, so I don't have access to the computer. And I would put it in the notes, but don't have access to notes. I can send it to John or send it to someone from the Department on Aging. But the website would be https cdt.ca.gov. Let me send that to you, John.
Yeah.
And maybe you can get that out to the rest of the committee members. There's a lot of information there. You can actually download an app that will test your computer speed. There is a process where you can check your broadband based on zip code. And we're very fortunate in Orange County. I think that we have a very high rating in regards to broadband access. But as you're aware, and other parts of California, that broadband access is going to be very limited. And this is what the committee is going to be looking at, is developing broadband that would be accessible to all individuals. That's what I have at this time, when there will be further information forthcoming as that develops.
Thank you, Dave. You know, Dave, you highlighted something that I was oblivious to until I became involved statewide with various AAAs, how much different, depending on whether you're in an urban or a rural environment, your access to the internet and the ability to participate in emails is, it's night and day. What we have here in Orange County, where you can elect to decide how much speed you want from the, you know, super highway to, you know, I'm quite comfortable with just being average. Mm-hmm. To the other extreme, where average may be the norm at best, is unbelievable. There is a significant divide out there, but you wouldn't be aware of it unless you interacted with people in many of the rural areas. So thanks.
That is true. And like I said, I think we're very fortunate in Orange County to have the access that we do. And of course, COVID has just brought all that out to a head. I think the first phase they noticed was the broadband connections. And those in rural areas of California didn't have access. And seniors were left high and dry in regards to services. And it's all coming forth in regards to this. And so I'm looking forward on being part of this and reporting back to everybody.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Elizabeth, do we have a report? Would it be a final report, or is there?
In the past several months, we've had no report because we are redundant.
Okay.
So it really should be taken off the agenda.
Hi, this is Evelyn, and I'm sorry, I'm on my phone, so I hope it doesn't get cut off. I just wanted to, I didn't get a chance to talk to Elizabeth, but I did want to tell you that I have remained on the FAST committee that Lillian connected me with, which is the Financial Abuse Special Task Force. And I made a presentation at the request at the January meeting about SCAC and what our role is, and which point I wrapped it up by saying that our role is really to try further the tasks of all of the agencies. And if there's something that they see as an issue that we might be able to bring to the attention of the Board of Supervisors, to bring, please tell me. And one of the attorneys made a suggestion that, and I forward this to John to see if it could gain any traction for next year's round, that California is one of the only, is really the only state that, I think Michigan, one of those other ones might, has something similar, that is, you can get married without having witnesses. It can be a secret wedding. And this attorney was saying, I and a number of my peers are getting more and more issues where the caregiver secretly marries the her client, and that when the client passes, then suddenly all of the money is gone and the caregiver has complete control of all finances, and sometimes even sends the her spouse now off to care and just bolts with the money. So I will stay on the on that subcommittee and forward to our committee anything that comes forward. Thank you.
So everyone, what I'm hearing is that rather than referring to it as the Elder Abuse Subcommittee, we will periodically get reports from you as a representative of the FAST committee?
Yes, I could certainly do that. Force?
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think we don't really know that much about elder abuse. That's what I was hoping we would be able to accomplish, is just to learn more about the topic and how what we might be able to bring forward to help help agencies work better, more efficiently. I still think that it's a problem that FAST and all of these other agencies really are picking the easiest target, which is financial abuse. But there's all this other abuse that I don't know who picks that up. I don't know.
Let me interrupt just for a second. I believe in my prior life with Supervisor Bartlett's office, we had a presentation when we were doing our State of the Fifth District by the DA's office on elder abuse, and it covered a broad range of topics, not just like financial elder abuse, but the topics that you're talking about as well, Evelyn. So maybe that might be something the committee wants to consider as a presentation in the future, just to bring everybody up to speed on the types of elder abuse that's out there.
Yeah, Kelly, we do have somebody.
Kelly would be able to, when we book that that presentation, she would be able to provide all the types of elder abuse and discuss all that. And Kelly does host the FAST committee. And it's basically FAST is a multidisciplinary forum for all of the county agencies and all the judiciary and also the police. They all come together and they basically sit there and they talk about different cases. They kind of collaborate and work with one another just to vet out some of the issues and stuff like that. And most of the cases that they bring is the financial component of it, because of the fact that there's a lot of laws that come into play with money and all that stuff. So, but they do deal with other types of abuse, but unfortunately the financial is one of the biggest component of the cases. So but
that
like,
would be again, great.
Yeah, Kelly would be able to describe all that, and she's very versed and knowledgeable on all that. So
yeah, let's maybe get together with Kelly and tell her about the issues that came up at this meeting so that she's aware of them. And if she can include them in her presentation, that'd be awesome.
So Pauline and Lillian, I have added elder abuse to our presentation schedule in the second half of the year. I haven't picked a month, but I've just added it to our schedule as yet another topic we could be covering. Is that good for you guys?
Lillian, I thought we were, maybe I picked it up wrong, but I thought we were going to look at doing something like that either in February or March.
This would be the same person, John.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So sorry.
I'll just explain to her, you know, just to cover all that, you know, the various types of abuse, and which is part of her presentation. So, but she'll be here. I'm going to try to get her for either February or March.
Is identity theft categorized as in the field of elder abuse, or is that a separate field? Is that a separate issue?
I think that's a separate issue, but it connects it. You know,
there is a nexus.
There's a nexus to it, because there's a lot of people who are calling and you know, trying to pretend and stuff like that. but there is a nexus though.
Would you give that some thought as maybe that would be an additional topic
identity theft?
As well, because I think many seniors would agree, we're being bombarded with, I'll call them scams, you name it. And even with email, boy, are they getting good at mimicking what a particular website looks like. You really have to take a look at what you're getting. And if you don't go to the address line, shame on you, because that's usually the giveaway. That didn't come from American Express. Okay, that came from somebody in another country. So anyway, just something for us to think about as well, because it's really just taking over. It's scary.
Well, and John, also to add to that, in addition to the email, now everyone's being bombarded with text messages. And I think when a senior receives a text message, it's more a sense of urgency and they think they have to respond right away. And those are scams too. And what you don't want to click it, you don't want anything getting into your phone. But
exactly. Thank you, Elaine. Okay. Item 10, legislative tracking. This is a placeholder. I will come back in the month of February to give you an update. If I have the information on CSL, I'll have the information on the broader issue of legislation impacting seniors. I will have to defer till March. So I'll have the legislative proposals that were picked up and authored by legislators in February, and it'll be another strong year on the part of CSL. If you're interested, the Orange County CSL caucus prepared a document that attempted to identify who our legislative representatives are as a result of the redistricting. Now, that was quite a task, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure I envisioned putting that much effort into it. We think we've got it right, but I'd like to share that with this group just to make sure that, you know, we haven't missed something or someone. And it made an effort to identify the supervisors for the five districts as well. So just an FYI. And lastly, two items, CSL Capital Day. That we typically refer to that as walk the halls. We don't walk the halls right now. We're basically using Zoom to do that. So we've had one meeting and we'll have another. I don't want to bore you, but you might be interested in what our experience is in regards to accessibility of the legislators. Finally, Senior Rally Day, May 2nd. It is historically an AM and a PM program. I don't know if you had an opportunity to join the January 20th CDA MPA update. I don't think I butchered it too bad. 2023 MPA update, where they basically attempted to provide a status report on where they're at. And those products are available. I'll send them to Desiree. And if we'll distribute, you may be interested and you may not. It's just an FYI. I thought it was pretty interesting. Obviously, they're trying to provide you with information that gives you an idea. There are things happening. You may not see them firsthand, but there's a lot of things happening. And provide you with information, and it gives you a picture of where they're trying to go. They basically picked out 6 to 10 topics they thought were their goals. And they emphasized local plans as something they were going to focus on in 2023. So Gee whiz. Are there any questions on item 10? Seeing none, item 11, new membership. Desiree, I'm not sure there is a new member to report on at this point.
I mean, just other than Ken, is I believe this is his first meeting, but no, nobody else. Colette is also a new member, but she's not here this morning.
Okay. Ken, welcome to your first meeting of the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee. Have you got any questions of us?
No, I just thought a little bit about myself. I live in North Tustin, and I am a volunteer at the Tustin Senior Center, taking over the position that Sherry Geyer had before. So I'm on the Senior Advisory Board there. I'm also an officer on their nonprofit fund. And I volunteer other places that I interact with seniors as well. At the Bowers Museum, I help prepare taxes for AARP's tax aid program. And I help out at a community outreach program at the Christ Cathedral. So I'm fortunate enough to have a lot of interaction with seniors in those capacities. So I think that I'm hoping that I'll be able to make a difference in this committee.
It certainly sounds like you'll be able to. So welcome. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We're now at item 12, announcements and roundtable discussion. Are there any announcements anyone would like to make? Tony.
Okay, just an update. There's a new manager from this is from the city of Anaheim, the Independencia Senior Center in Anaheim. The new director, Rosa Renteria, has moved on to Santa Ana, and we have a new director. Her name is Adelina Miranda. That's for the Bologna Senior Center in
Okay, thank you, Tony. Lillian.
Thanks, John. This question is for Ken. Ken, you mentioned that you work with a lot of seniors and stuff like that, even with the homeless shelter. I was wondering if any of your seniors that you come across are interested in re-entering or entering the workforce, because we do have an employment program for seniors, job training to start with community services that basically provides them with skills and stuff like that for them to gain employment. So I was just interested in that.
I do every now and then hear from people that are interested in that. So okay. How will I put them in touch with that resource?
May I connect with you after this? Because I don't want to take
sure.
up.
Sure.
And then
okay.
We can connect to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
John, calling on John. So Pauline, in your previous role, there was an annual senior citizen
summit.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Last year's was entirely virtual, I believe, and it was basically here's the link and click on and join at your convenience.
Correct.
Hope I did that justice. I realize you're not affiliated with the current supervisor. I'm just wondering if the Office on Aging hears anything about a senior summit under Supervisor Foley, that would, I think, fall under our category, senior citizen engagement, and there'd be something we would want to get out to our members and the community at large if that's something that's going to be continued. Go ahead, Pauline.
I would think that any supervisorial office that wants to conduct a senior summit in any of their jurisdictions would have to contact the Office on Aging for the resources available, or at least, you know, pull in some of the staff to say, hey, we're thinking of doing this. What are the things you guys could help us with, or how do we go about doing it? I would imagine Supervisor Foley's office would think about doing it for the 5th District, as maybe the other supervisors would as well. But that's something I think we could reach out to the supervisorial districts and find out if that's something on their radar and what format it would be in going forward. And Great. If we find that information, we'd be happy to share it with you.
Great. Thank you very much. Yep. Any other announcements, folks? Okay. Seeing none. Desiree, it's 10:41. I'm adjourning this meeting. You all have a great day, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you all for helping me get through this. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.